M's Pamela Cochin judgment of my abilities are colored by her finding me to be equally at home in dealing with orthodox Christian concepts as I am with current scientific discoveries. There is nothing unusual in this, as there are many of us who read both Pierre Teilhard de Chardin and Scientific American. Similarly, I know of Fridtjof Capra's ideas, but I am more familiar with our South African equivalent, Professor Whiteman, who takes the concepts of quantum physics and draws analogies as with the teachings of Buddha. I have two difficulties with such approaches. Firstly, the concepts of modern science move very quickly, so that particle physics has changed dramatically since Capra wrote the Tao of Physics, yet by contrast the ancient scriptures are static. Secondly, in most interpretations of ancient texts one can see the fashions of the day in the personal emotions of the expositors. This is why the canon of UFO literature has to be treated with skill and experience, and not just with crude analogies. Thank you for your offer to summarize new physics works that demonstrate antimatter and reverse time as another relate of contempsoft-orrery with ours. I don't think this will be necessary, as I have no hang-ups on multidimensional reality. Indeed, in my day-to-day work I always use topological rather than statistical analysis. My real interest at the moment is the mapping of other dimensions into the rigid, limited brains of our species at this point of time. I do not take my task seriously, as I have technically retired. From your letter I get the impression that you are worried in case someone cries hoax about the Edwin story. If anyone does, then it is an incredibly elaborate way for a hoaxer to express consistent grassroots contact between late 20th century Earth and outsiders. For this reason alone the story is worth publishing, in my opinion. However, I am pretty sure it is not a simple hoax, and I am happily discuss the details with any honest, interested person. But you must realize that any powerful, dishonest lobby that thought it was worth its while debunking the book could do so and discredit me too without much effort. This is not my reason for declining our offer to publish an objective, scientific review of Kyle's book. In the past I have been at the receiving end of a couple of scientific controversies, and I am not afraid to face such music in my retire soft-ment. No, my reasons are simply what I have explained to you in the first part of this letter. With my best wishes for your venture and the new year. Yours sincerely, Walter Popple. The next letter, comment on the Confederation contact in Natal, South Africa. Early in 1976, Carl van Vlieden brought to me a description of how Confederation spacecraft travel along magnetic streams and asked me to comment on it. As a conventional academic trained in biology and physics, I had no difficulty in understanding the account, although I found it strange, as this was my first serious meeting with UFO ideas. Over the following 4 years I was invited to join the small group the Confederation contacted in Fred White's home. At all times I was given the freedom to investigate and question the proceedings, and had many long frank discussions with both Carl and Fred. The local UFO Research Society has an extensive library and had investigated the Confederation contact from the mid-1960s. I joined this society, I read the available literature and met a number of critics of the Confederation story. When I discussed particular criticism with Fred, I always obtained a satisfactory explanation in terms of a consistent picture of the Confederation. After a number of years I had sufficient confidence to give public talks on UFOs, including my experiences. It was almost as if the Confederation was sounding out public reaction locally, just as spectacular events were doing it on a world scale. At the end of 1979, I was present at a broadcast when the Confederation gave their reasons for withdrawing from planet Earth and ceasing contact. Their assessment of local reaction seemed valid to me at the time. In my own case, the authorities pointed out that a belief in UFOs was not good for my public image as a senior research scientist in a government agency. It is only because I have retired from this post for other reasons that I feel free to write this comment. 5 July 1983 Watts. Popple, one more letter, Australia. 17th of August. 1983, Wendell. C. Stevens. 3224 Sowinona Circle, Tuscan. Arizona. 85,730. USA, Dear Sir, my name is Ms. Pamela S. Cochin, and I'm writing to you in response to a request from Carl von Vleiden, whose book you are in the process of publishing, A Cosmic Dialogue, is the title or subtitle to the best of my knowledge. Carl lives in Pinetown, South Africa, and you may be wondering how I came to be mixed up in his witnesses. In actual fact, it was through a stay I made with my aunt and uncle mid-year in 1976 on the occasion of my first trip overseas. I was aged 39 years at the time, married with four children, and traveling with my youngest at the time. My interest in spacecraft was nominal. In that I mean that I believed in their existence, yet I'd never seen one. I didn't belong to any organizations, yet I did have friends in Australia who talked about life on other worlds a good deal, and I enjoyed their conversations. None of these people knew Carl though. It was during the last weeks of my stay in South Africa when further conversations with people who were trance mediums led me to ask Del, my aunt, how did she think that space people could possibly be mixed up with the spirit world? The two frames of reference seemed to be too far apart to be believable, yet I could accept both in their relative pigeonholes. Del suggested that I might like to meet an old friend of hers, Carl von Vleiden. She rang him and we went to his home a few nights later. Carl sounded out my understanding of universal concepts and offered me 6 hours off tape, which were earlier transmissions which he had recorded beforehand, that is, said that I could feel free to play the first set to anyone who may be interested, but to be discreet with the last one. I promised that I would, and before we left that evening, Carl asked me if I would like to meet Edwin. I couldn't resist, and said yes. He said he would have to speak to Edwin and family first, and in the meantime, Del and I attended several public meetings where Carl lectured about his concept of universal levels and of Edwin's contact with people from outer space. Within a week, Del and I were headed to Edwin's home. It was modest and they were a shy and somewhat retiring couple with a young family, and I respected their right to be shielded from publicity, if that was what they wished. In fact, I knew of a similar couple in Australia whose contact with someone from outer space caused quite an upheaval to the immediate family, and to friends who were close to them at the time. Even now, I do not feel free to discuss their personal experiences without their consent, and as I am not aware of what Carl has written of in his book, it may not even be relative to what you are seeking as far as confirmation goes. However, in the tapes that I was given, it was spoken of that people from outer space sometimes overshadow an Earth person at times and almost merge with his personality. The difference can be felt as well as seen if it continues for a time, and when the overshadowing concludes, everything returns back to normal again. I have witnessed such an event, and the husband of my friend grew at least 6 inches in height and emanated a tranquility of soul which was never apparent beforehand. With this came abilities he had never exhibited beforehand, and a feeling within each one of us that Andy wasn't there anymore, new ear talking to someone else again. This lasted till September 1974, and was gone, everything back to normal by Christmas 1974. Something in the tapes that Carl gave to me caused me to reflect about these things, for it was during this precise month that the space fleet were called to withdraw. Coincidence? Edwin was tall and slim, exactly as Del and I anticipated him to be. We played guessing games on our way over in the car. Carl and his wife Yvette met us there, and we waited quietly and comfortable in Edwin's lounge while his wife put their children to bed. It wasn't long after her entry that the recording equipment beside me lighted up quite automatically and a sound boomed out. Cue, bass. Calling cue, bass, etc. I switched my tape recorder on and taped it as Edwin leapt out of his chair and proceeded to inform the caller that they had guests and a transmission was not possible that night. His apparent fluster at this taking place before us was quite genuine and, to me, unnecessary. Still, Edwin didn't know me, or Del for that matter, and I could quite understand his panic. Carl then told him not to worry, and we spent the rest of the night chin-wagging about his contacts and his ability to receive telepathically. I didn't record it all, so much of it was already known to me via my Australian experience, although I had to admit that I took a lot of it with a grain of salt at the time, for it was happening, yet you didn't quite believe it all the same. Meeting Carl and Edwin helped me to come to terms with the Australian experience, and when I returned, somehow, they already knew that I'd met these people and was returning with something of interest for them to hear. I shared the tapes with them with pleasure. A few others listened to them, and then they began to gather dust on my shelves. From time to time, Del wrote to me, and Carl exchanged Christmas greetings. Through this I learned that he was writing a book and I wished him luck, wanting to have a copy when it was published. Several years passed by. Then quite suddenly, one Sunday afternoon in the privacy of my 7-acre garden, I held an unexpected telepathic conversation with two men visitors who were quite unseen by me, but distinctly felt in their presence. At first I thought they might have been spirit visitors, but I was wrong. The conversation proved that they were people from outer space on a mission that was of a supervisory nature. The date was April 20, 1980, and following a brief explanation of their work, I was taken on an out of the body experience which explained so much to me that I believed it was my duty to write about it all, in full. My biggest problem was my inexperience in such matters, and as my frustration grew I decided to take a second trip to South Africa and ask some of my aunt's friends if they believed that it was that important to do so. So once again, I met Carl and Edwin, along with many others. Carl looked the same but was without his snow-white beard. Edwin and family still emanated a soft gentleness that I warmed to so much, and I noted that Edwin's face was shining. My comment to Del was that Edwin was much more spiritual than on my first trip, and she agreed. The conversation got out of hand as references were made to my own experience, and subsequent follow-up of stories, and Edwin either nodded in confirmation, or we agreed that in some areas that we had a difference in the given concept of space travel and satellite building, and while we were relating these things to each other, there were also sideline conversations from Cara, Yvette, Del, Ray and my mother, Hadeline Phoenix, who traveled with me on this occasion. Before I returned home again I had met other groups who have been involved with direct outer space contacts. Nina Merrington, Walter Popple and this group gave me the warmest reception, and here I was invited to speak to a group of 20 people about my own personal experience. And it was with them that I left a rough copy of my first manuscript, for there wasn't time to tell them everything that I had learned. Walter Popple was a scientist, holding several related degrees as well as a degree in theology, being a Methodist lay preacher on occasional Sundays. In meeting him, I felt that my prayers were answered, for I was concerned about my lack of understanding in relation to scientific data, which was given to me, yet not altogether understood by me, and there was so much that related to ancient events as recorded in the Old Testament, that I also worried about being insufficiently read in this field of knowledge as well. Walter was a kindly person, and afterward, he assured me that any scientist who knew his field would understand me perfectly and there was no argument in him about anything that I'd spoken about, and this included biological functions and genetic engineering etc. Further too, he didn't believe that I had crossed the line Bible-wise in any way, and then he went off for a swim. An associate came over to me and asked if I had a copy of the talk I'd given, and I laughed and said no. It had come off the top of my head. Then, before I left for Australia, she called to my aunts and asked if she could have one of my manuscripts. I gave her my last one and thought nothing more about it.